Praise God. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is God's Word.
And God's Word
is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil
every day.
This is my Bible. And my Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word
is the revelation
of His will
for my life.
Any other revelation
that contradicts
this word
is rejected by me.
I claim the promises of God.
I follow the commands of God.
I endeavor to do the will of God.
I thank you, Father,
for your spirit
who helps me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And you may be seated. We're going to
continue to talk about how to get anything you want from God.
This is the third part three. Although we only stopped at the third portion of it last week, there's so much more to talk about, and we will not be able to finish because we got other programs going on in the next couple of weeks. So, I'm going to try to give you as much as I can today, but I will try to give it to you within a decent amount of time, so don't worry, I'm not going to keep you here too long. But I would encourage you to pay attention. If you got paper and pen, take notes, because the truth that we teach here at Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship come directly from the Word of God. And they come from the revelation of God. Let me tell you something, people. Although I do read books and I do read other people's books and stuff, I do not preach to you from somebody else's book. I go before God and try to get a word from God directly from Him to you. I do my own biblical studies and I get my own understanding of the Word of God as the Spirit of God leads me. Praise God.
Amen.
But when I do, I write them down. Because my wife was asking me the other day, she said, because I had forgotten to print out my notes, and she said, well, the Spirit of God will give it to you. I said, yes, He already gave it to me, but I had to write it down. You see, because even though the Spirit of God will give it to me, I still have this little pea brain that can't retain everything. And so I need to write stuff down. That's why God had His revelation written down. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So I would endeavor you to please pay close attention. If you got a good memory, glory to God. But I have found that a short pen is better than a long memory. Glory to God. All right. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, our foundation text. Let's turn there. Psalm 37. We do have it up on the screen, but you need to learn to open up your Bibles as well. You need to learn where to find the books. I'm so glad to see Brother Claude and his wife Josephine back here again for a second Sunday. Glory to God. Give God a hand, please. They are such a beautiful couple. I love to see this, the young people join us. Because I'm young. What y'all laughing at? Alright. When the pastor says he's young, he's young. Alright. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Say, He shall.
He shall
bring it to pass.
God
has promised that He will bring it to pass. He will bring your desires to pass if you will trust in Him and if you will delight yourself in Him. What does delighting yourself in the Lord mean? It means to be happy with the Lord.
Amen.
I will remind you that the Lord does care about your happiness. Some people will sit up there and tell you, the Lord doesn't care about you being happy or not. He just wants you to serve Him. No, the Lord wants you to be happy. Say, the Lord
wants me
to be happy.
to be happy.
It's right there in the scriptures. He says he wants you to be happy. But he wants you to be happy in the right thing, which is him. How many of you who lived in the world before you came to know Christ found out that all the material things that you had did not satisfy you? I did. I mean, women did not satisfy me. I mean, I had I could be with a beautiful girl. When I finished with her, the void was still there. I could have a nice car, but after a couple of years, the car that got rusty and bent and messed up and everything, I'm no longer satisfied. I wasn't satisfied with it in the first place. It wasn't until I came to know Jesus Christ that emptiness inside of me was filled. Marita, what you doing, girl? All right. So, God wants you to be happy. But see, if you have chosen to first be happy in the Lord, then all the other desires that you have, your desires, your goals, your dreams, some of you are called to be politicians. Some of you are called to be congressmen and senators. We need you to be congressmen and senators. Praise God.
Amen.
Those are good, godly desires. Some of y'all in here are probably going to be president. You know, Barack Obama, you know, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, doesn't matter. The fact that we now have an African American in the White House gives the rest of us hope. That now those of us in here who are of a different skin color can now achieve that goal. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to see godly people in the White House. People who will stand against abortion. People who will stand against homosexual marriage. Yes, I said it. People who will stand against injustice. People who will have some backbone.
Yes.
And not afraid to stand up for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And not afraid to pray and say, I need God to help me run this country.
Amen.
And not cater and whimper down to some lobbyist who's trying to get your votes and all that other stuff. We need you to have dreams and goals and desires. We need some of y'all to be millionaires and billionaires and to make us some money. Because so y'all can buy Pastor some new clothes. Praise God. I'm a millionaire now. I'm going to bless my pastor. Glory to God. We need y'all to achieve your dreams and your goals and desires. So if you first delight yourself in the Lord, you put his kingdom first and his righteousness, and then he will bless you with all the other things. Part of the joy and the happiness that God wants to give you is in answers to your prayers. Turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Saint John chapter 16. Somebody might say, well, Pastor Truett, this sounds like one of those name it and claim it messages. Yeah, it is.
Amen.
You know why? If you name what the Word of God says, and you claim what the Word of God says, you can have what the Word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when we talk about, when some people think of naming and claiming, they're thinking of, I claim this Cadillac. I claim this Coupe de Ville. I claim this house. Mm-hmm. No! What you do is you claim God's promises. Praise God. You name the promises and you claim them. I remember reading a statement. I wish I had written that. I had printed that statement. I remember reading a statement by the great reformer Martin Luther. And he said something about the fact that you cannot receive those things unless you first name them. I said, man, this was written several thousand years before the modern faith movement. I said, that's pretty cool. But you name what the Word of God says, and then you claim it in Jesus' name. John chapter 16, has you found it yet? Well, then wait for me to find it. Verse 20, go down to verse 27. And it says, verse 26. Let's start at verse 26.
at that day, talking about the day that Jesus leaves them and goes up to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. At that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Now listen to this. The Father himself loves you. Woo, some of y'all need a revelation of that. Some of y'all do not understand that God loves you. He loves me, but you don't know what I did last night. It don't matter. The Father himself loves you. Now, he doesn't like what you did. And the reason why he doesn't like what you did, because he knows that sin can hurt you. It can destroy your life. But he still loves you. Point to yourself and say, the Father
loves me.
Oh, the Father himself loves you. And look at this. Because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. Now, God loves you. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
He wants you to believe that. And so, if you pray in Jesus' name, Jesus said, I don't have to pray for you. You just pray in my name. The Father himself loves you. Now, there's another passage right here within this chapter talking about that, the fact that he wants your joy to be full. That's the one I was trying to find, actually. Oh, there it is, verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. That's your what?
Joy.
That's your what?
Joy.
That's your what?
Joy.
What does he want your joy to be?
Filled.
He said, ask in my name, and ye shall receive. Say, ye shall.
Ye shall.
Receive.
Receive.
Now see, if you ask in his name, and we learned a couple weeks ago that asking in his name gives you the authority to ask, but it also means asking within the character of Jesus. When I ask in the name of Jesus, I will not be asking Jesus for a case of Miller's Light. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you can drink Miller's Light, if you think you don't have a problem, there's nothing wrong with drinking, then ask God for a case of Miller's Light in Jesus' name. If you think that smoking is all right, then ask God for a case of Marlboros in Jesus' name. Can you do it? Can you ask God for a bottle of Seagram 7 and expect to receive it? All right. Well then, if you can't do that, then you remember, you are asking in the name and the character of Jesus. But can you ask God to bless you with the money to go to college and fulfill your college career?
None, yes.
Oh, yes, that's a good thing. God wants you in college. He knows that this is a scholastic society and you need your education. You need to get out of the ghetto and you need to get into the ivory tower where he can use you. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And utilize you.
Amen.
You know, it don't make no sense to be, I love the Lord, and won't even do nothing with your life. The person who loves the Lord will try to achieve something in their life.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
If you're not called to the ministry, then get called to something. Let God show you where your call is. Not everybody's called to a pulpit ministry, a prophetic ministry, a missionary ministry or anything like that, but some of you are called to get into the business world and to become entrepreneurs. We need more entrepreneurs here, praise God.
Amen.
We need some of y'all to get off of welfare and get onto Godfare.
Amen.
Become entrepreneurs for Jesus' name. And if you ask, you will receive, that your joy may be what? Your joy may be full or filled. God cares about you having joy. He cares about you having happiness. He wants you to be happy. If you are happy in him, then he will bless you with the answers to your prayers and make you more happy. Let me tell you something. As much as I love y'all,
My affirmation does not come from you guys.
Yes, Lord.
Listen to me. Don't get me wrong. I, like anybody else, I love to receive compliments. I love to hear you, Pastor. You did such a wonderful job of teaching the word. Yeah, I like to hear that. It gets on my last nerve when you say that and you ain't living it. But see, my affirmation doesn't come from y'all, because some of you will compliment me one day, and then you'll be talking about me like a dog the next day. I'm not just talking about me. It happens to all of us. You got so-called friends that are like that. They talk to it one moment. They tell you, oh, you've been such a wonderful friend to me. You've been so good to me. And then a couple days later, can you let me borrow $5, baby? I don't have it right now. You know, some kind of friend is she. You know, and then they start talking about all the negative stuff that they remember from your life. Oh, what happened to that? You were such a wonderful person and all this other stuff. So my affirmation doesn't come from people per se. As long as I see God blessing me and answering my prayers, you can talk about me like a dog. But you know what? I will be a blessed dog.
Hallelujah.
You know, I heard one man say, they talked about me when I was poor, and they talk about me when I'm rich. So they're going to talk about me anyway. I might as well be rich while they're talking about me. So as long as God is blessing me, talk about me all you want. Glory to God. Matter of fact, my pastor, when I was in Okinawa, he used to get a lot of criticism from other pastors. And some of the pastors used to dog him out in the pulpit. And you know what? Some of those pastor's members would go to his church, would go to my pastor's church, and they say, well, pastor talking about that man so bad, I need to go over there and see what's going on over there. And they would come over to the church and they stay. They say, well, they get caught up in the word of God. So I'm like, yeah, talk about me. Let people find out what's going on. Glory to God. All right, my goodness. But you get your affirmation from God, is what I'm trying to tell you. You get your joy. You delight yourself in the Lord. You get your peace, your joy, and your happiness from God, because He loves you. Everybody else, people might love you one minute and dog you out the next. But Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit will always love you. If the Holy Spirit didn't love you, you think He would have put up with you all this time, staying with you even when you was acting like a fool? I'm talking Pastor Troy included. All right. So the week before last, we talked about check your motive for wanting the thing that you claim to want. Remember, you always got to have the right motive. Amen? You know, and we talked about that. You don't remember that? Get the CD on it. And then we also talked about the fact that you need to search the scriptures and or seek the Lord to be sure that your desire is in line with what God desires for you to have. So anything we want and desire should be consistent with the word of God. Praise God. Last week, we talked about the fact that we need to recognize that it is God's intense desire to give us the desires of our heart when our requests are prayed with the right motives and in line with His revealed will. So recognize that it is God's intense desire to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to give them to you. He wants to bless you. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Do you know that?
Yes.
God wants some things for you that you don't even know that you want.
Yes.
And then when you get them, you'll be like, woo! Now we're going to deal with number 4 very quickly. There's actually 8 to this, and I know I'm not going to get to do 8. So we're just going to deal with number 4. You can get the book. We'll have the book out hopefully by the end of this month or sometime next month. But number 4, if God's word or His personal revelation to you is consistent with your desires, then read and meditate upon His promises that you found through search or that the Holy Spirit spoke until faith is developed. Now, listen. We told you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But remember, it's hearing and hearing. It's not a one-time hearing. See, the mistake that people make You know, like what? In the back, we have some of those books on that prayer, and they teach you how to pray according to the scriptures. I love those books; they're great. But the mistake that a lot of people make is thinking that, okay, I read the promise one time, and then I pray, and that should be it. No, you ain't got a bit more faith in the Word of God than the man on the moon. See, the step that we all often miss is the fact that we need to be meditating on the Word of God. We need to be allowing the Word of God to revolve around and around in our minds until it gets into the heart. You see, it's not an intellectual acknowledgement of the Word of God that's going to get you over. And it's going to give you the victory that you need in your life. You can't have a head knowledge of God's Word. If it's only in your head, then when the trials and tribulations come, when all the contradicting circumstances come your way that appear to make it seem like God is not going to do what He's promised to do, then you will fall. You will say, oh, well, it must be God's sovereign will that I don't have that. Well, it's not true of it. I believe that God is sovereign, but it's not God's sovereign will that you don't have something that He has promised you in His Word or promised you by the Spirit of God. Praise God. Now, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, it tells us, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and this is the part I want you to understand, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. See, you may be believing in your head, but your heart is where the true matter is at. The Bible says, talks about, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The heart is the center of your being. It's the most important area. You got to get the promise out of your head and get it into your heart where you believe in it and you're able to stand against everything that appears to contradict it. So, if you have the reason why faith, your faith in God, and remember, it's not faith in faith. We don't have faith in our faith. Amen?
Amen.
We have faith in God. God is the object of our faith. It says, have faith in God. Not have faith in my ability to believe, or, you know, if I believe, just believe hard enough. Yeah. Even the world does that. Yeah. They misquote God's word. You know, the Bible says that all things are possible to him that believes. But see, that's talking about believing God. That's not just talking about believing, period. You know, New Agers and all these other people have this positive thinking teaching. If I just believe hard enough, then it'll happen. That's not necessarily true. That's just intellectual. That's getting into the mind science cults, Christian Science and stuff like that. With God, it is directed towards him, trust in him, and it is in my heart where the Spirit of God resides. Praise God.
Amen.
See, I could, all kinds of things, the devil could be attacking my mind. Mm-hmm. And he has done this. But if, as long as I know in my heart, deep down on the inside, if I know that God has said it, then no matter what my mind says, I can cast down all the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and I can bring every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ Jesus. But if it's not in my heart, and if it's only in my head, as soon as the devil starts attacking, I'll quit. Oh God, I guess it ain't gonna work out. I bleed God for 3 whole hours and it ain't happened yet. No! You've got to get the Word of God in your heart if you really want for this thing to work for you. Now, this is how David did it. David, in order to receive victory over sin, that's a good goal, ain't it?
Yes.
When God, if you ask God for victory over sin, don't you think He'd want to give you victory over sin?
Yes. Amen.
Some of y'all don't seem to believe that. Yes, God wants to take off.
God
wants me.
Wants me.
To live holy.
To live holy.
God will empower me.
God wants to empower me.
To live holy.
To live holy.
All right. If you look at Psalm
119, beginning at verse 9. We have it up here on the board. So we'll just read it from there because we're out of time. It says, Beth, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart, say whole heart,
whole heart,
have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Say mine heart.
Mine heart.
That I might not sin against thee. The reason why many of us are sinning against God is because we know the word in our head. We know the commandment to love in our head, but we don't have it yet in our heart. And that's why we find it hard to love people. The Bible tells us if you don't love your brother, you don't love God.
Wow. Yeah.
If you don't love your brother who you have seen, you cannot love God who you have not seen. So if I only know that in my head and not in my heart, as soon as Elder Steve says the wrong word to me, all the love that I have for him will go right out the window. And I will be plotting his downfall. When I get to that Stephen Gay, I tell you, I'm going to find a way to tear him up. But see, if the commandment of God to love is in my heart, then no matter what this brother, if he can slap me. Now, I don't know about saying that, let him slap me. But he can slap me, and if the love of God and the word of God is in my heart, I will still forgive him. I will duck and forgive him.
I will run because he's a big brother, so I ain't going to try to fight him. I will run and forgive him. I'll forgive him, Lord. Jesus, just don't let him catch me.
Glory to God. All right, so you got to hide the word of God in your heart. And how do you hide the word of God in your heart? If you read further in the psalm, we don't have time to read it. If you read further in the psalm, David says that he hid the word of God in his heart through meditation.
Amen.
He says it in several verses within the same psalm. He meditated upon God's commandments, upon God's precepts, upon God's rules. And that's how you get the word of God in your heart. You get it from your head to your heart. When some of y'all learn that secret, then you will become powerhouses for God.
Amen.
You will no longer be wishy-washy. You won't become like Pastor Troy one week and saying, Pastor Troy, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right after I preach the word to you on how to have victory in that area, and you still come up to me telling me you're struggling with that. You need to get the word of God in your heart, and you can only do it through meditation. Not through coming here on Sunday, falling asleep on me, and then talking about, I went to church, I feel good. No. You got to get the word of God in your heart. You need to pay attention when you're being taught, not just by me, but by the other ministers here. Get some books, get some sound books and tapes. Read your Bible every single day. But don't just read it, meditate on it. Get to understand the truths. Take one passage of the scripture and just let that thing revolve around and around in your mind. Put it on a postcard or one of those whiteout cards or whatever, and just read that thing. And just let it stay in your mind until it gets into your heart. And then I'm telling you, no matter what somebody says to you, you will not be swayed from it. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's why it's difficult for me to change and to and no matter if you tell me something that's against the word of God, I will hell or high water, I will not back down from it. You can take a baseball bat and say, tell me that's wrong, or I'm gonna beat you with a baseball bat. You know what I tell you? It's time to start beating, because I ain't about to do that. That's how much I believe what this book says.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's how much I believe this book. You know, Lord Jesus. All right. We got a couple of passage scriptures. Psalm 1. Read Psalms 1 for your homework tonight. Read Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And let's look at one last passage of scripture. John chapter 15, verse 7. Psalms 1 and Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 talks about the success that you receive from meditating on the Word of God. The victory in God that you will receive from meditating on His Word. But John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will." Say what ye will.
What ye will.
"And it shall be done unto you." See, if God's words abide in you and you are walking and continuing in God, you can ask for whatever you want. That's what that word will means. I can ask for my will to be done. Because you know why? If I got God's word in me, then my will be in line with His will. Praise God. So when God's word is abiding in me, is continuing me, and I do that through meditation, then I can get whatever I want. You can get anything you want from God. Praise God. I'm telling you, some religionists may not like that, but I tell you, the scripture says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Let me read this to you from the New Testament and expanded translation by Kenneth S. Weiss. It says, "If you maintain a living communion with me and my words are at home in you, I command you to ask." Look at that. This is from the Greek. "I command you to ask at once something for yourself, whatever your heart desires, and it will be yours." Woo! You are not only privileged to ask for something for yourself, but God is commanding you to ask for something for yourself. God wants you to have your desires. I remember one day, as I was praying and I was interceding for some people, this was years ago, just sitting down in my living room praying for some people, and, you know, I was pious and holy, and I said, "God, remember, I'm not asking this for myself, Lord. I'm asking this on behalf of so-and-so and so-and-so." And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "Son, I want to give you some things that you want too." When He said that just melted my heart. God wants to give you the things you want. You got His word abiding you. You are abiding in God or continuing in God. You won't ask for anything stupid anyway. Your heart, your desires will be godly ones. Your goals will be godly ones. And God will give you the thing that you want. I'll tell you, I remember years ago listening to a brother. He had just gotten married. And he found out that his wife was pregnant. And this is a deacon in the church that I was an associate pastor at back in the early 90s. But he comes to me, he says, "Pastor," he says, "man, I can't believe she's pregnant. I wanted to enjoy our time together before she got pregnant." I said, "Okay, so you got a baby." He said, "I wish that God would just go up in her womb and just kill that baby and snatch it." Yes, he said that to me. Yes, he did. Our deacon. He wasn't a deacon long, I'm going to tell you that, though. We did not keep him as a deacon. I looked at him. I said, "Man, God is not about to get up there and kill your baby on your behalf."
You need to go sell cars.
And unfortunately, the baby died. Curse that little baby.
Curse the baby to death.
But I tell you what. This is a lesson you need to learn from me. Do not ever ask God for things that you don't desire. Don't ever ask God for things. Don't ask God for things out of selfishness. "I just wanted to spend a little more time with my new bride." You fool. Don't ever do that. Ask ask God for godly desires, and He will give you godly desires. God has... Oh, I wish I had the time, but we are so out of time. My wife and I, we can sit up here and testify time and time and time and time again of how we've seen God answer prayer on our behalf and on behalf of others. Can I tell y'all at least one more story?
Yes.
Just one more.
Okay.
I want to tell y'all, because I gave y'all a negative one, so I need to leave y'all with something positive. No. I mean, I just slapped y'all down with a negative story. Right. Let me tell you a positive one. I remember years ago at a church we was at where... This was when we were in Okinawa, Japan. There's a lot of military over there, so the church we was at was primarily military. And a bunch of Marines that was in the church went off for a deployment. And we had a woman there in our church, her husband was with them. And so, you know, a couple of weeks, the majority of the Marines came back, but her husband was left behind for an undetermined amount of time. And so she was like, where's my husband? I want my husband back. You know, she said this in church. And one of the pious, wonderful ministers that was in the church said, well, it may be that God has a plan for your husband to use him over there. So you may not get him back for a while.
Oh, boy.
And so she came to me later on and she said, Troy, she said, I know that you believe that God answers prayer. I said, yes, I do. She said, will you please pray with me for my husband to come back? I said, when do you want him back? She said, Tuesday. So we took Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, which says that if two of you shall agree as touching concerning anything on earth, it shall be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. We held hands, we prayed, and we asked God to bring her husband back by Tuesday. Next Sunday, she came in with her husband and said he came on Tuesday.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. His mercy endure forever.
Amen.